The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks once again for tuning in. This is Paul Orlowski. I'm God Calling. Father David Stavars is here. He has been a priest since 2019 and is currently a parochial vicar at St. Gabe's. Father, welcome to God Calling.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah. Where'd you grow up?
Grew up in Barberton, Akron, Ohio. So St. Francis of Sales down in Portage Lakes is my home parish. So.
Okay. Tell me about growing up. Were you in church every weekend, rosaries at home, stuff like that, or just your traditional Sunday Mass guy?
To be honest, when I was in kind of grade school and high school, I kind of categorized my faith as, you know, I like Jesus, but not that much. you know, I was kind of your average, just kind of everyday kid. We went to Mass. Certainly Mass was important on the weekends, and we prayed before meals and things. It wasn't necessarily something, you know, it wasn't constantly all the time. My parents were involved in kind of a Christian retreat program. When I was growing up. And then in high school, I was involved in search retreat programs and stuff, kind of playing music and guitar. I like playing music and leading people in worship. So, growing up, definitely faith was there in the family. And it was a big doorway to faith, certainly to opening up to a vocation later in life.
A Catholic grade school?
Yep. Yeah, I went to St. Francis Sales grade school, K through 8, and then Hoban High School from there. And then you kind of at the end of high school was really when I kind of felt called to the seminary, kind of out of the blue, but that's a different story. But yeah, just Catholic faith always there, always there.
Mm-hmm. Were your mom and dad surprised?
Yeah, I think so. I think it kind of came out of left corner. I hadn't really talked, I don't think probably a lot about what I wanted to do in life. You know, when you're in high school, you kind of think about a lot of different things. I was thinking about nursing school at Akron U. I think it was an honors anatomy and physiology class at the time, and we had gone to Barberton Hospital to see some surgeries and things. Which is, and just being in the hospital and, you know, being around people, I think in hindsight, you know, kind of having that desire on my heart to be with people to see them healed, and certainly all the medical equipment and this and that, it was intriguing to me when I was in high school. So, but then. Seminary kind of came out of nowhere.
More like the St. Paul lightning bolt or just kind of nagging over the course of a couple of years?
Yeah, I kind of compared it to an annunciation kind of moment, which providentially, my first assignment was St. Gabriel's out in Menor. It was kind of an annunciation kind of moment. I, again, had been thinking about a number of things. I was involved in youth group and some retreat experiences. And Father Matt Jordan, who's now at over at St. Michael's in Independence, he was in the seminary for just a year, and we weren't like super close friends at the time, acquaintances, but he asked me to come on a come and see weekend at the seminary. I think my response was something like, I think I have something going on that weekend. I don't know what it is, but I have something going
on.
Yeah. So we were chatting on Facebook, and after that conversation, I just couldn't stop thinking about the possibility of being in the seminary. Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, you know, a couple people from the parish had asked me, you know, like, hey, ever think about being a priest? Ever think about being going to the seminary? And it was like a half second thought, like, no, not really. No. But then just after this moment, really, it was kind of a graced moment of allowing that heart to be open just a little bit. And then the Lord took it from there. So
These teen groups, this seems to come up with a lot of the fellows that I talk to, and females as well. There's a window there or something, that these teen groups are really a fertile soil for vocations, it seems.
Totally. Yeah, I think anytime young people can be in community together in faith is very much seed planting. But, you know, people don't realize how much their little things do plant seeds, you know, in someone's heart to be able to accept God's invitation, you know, in life. So I think that happened in a lot of different places. I think my high school cross-country coach, I brought him up a number of times in just different talks over the years. And, yeah, he was one who really just kind of planted seeds in my life of, like, here's someone who's joyful and faithful. And he wanted to share his faith with our cross-country team. And we had Mass, I think, twice during the cross-country season. Yeah, so I think it's a lot of different people, you know.
Are parents more shy about saying, they see a child who's joyful and happy and loves Jesus, let's say.
Sure.
Are they more shy because my grandmother asked me 150 times, "Paulie, why don't you be a priest?"
Yeah.
And they used to do that in the family. And I've got a cousin that's a priest. And mm-hmm. But I don't know that that happens as much anymore. And I certainly didn't do it as
a
father.
Yeah. Not quite. I mean, it wasn't something. It was, again, on their radar. Something they asked me to do. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I know my grandma prayed for a priest in the family, so that I know that's a big part of the.
It goes with the title of grandma.
Yeah, that's a big part of the recipe, but. No, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's certainly their own life and faith and witness, but certainly, you know, the invitation, you know, there is something vulnerable about that, you know, mm-hmm. of seeing something in someone and saying something. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Father Matt was the one who kind of stepped into that and mm-hmm. just said something. Yeah, but there's a vulnerability there, you know, I think, because you don't know how they're going to receive that. So yeah, I think it'd be good for parents to do more if you feel called, you know, to invite, you know, your son, daughter to a vocation. Certainly, they're being witness to marriage, mm-hmm. you know, and that's inviting in and of itself as that's lived joyfully and well.
Did you go to the Come and See Weekend ever?
No, I didn't actually. I went on a just overnight weekend.
Okay.
So it was kind of different tracks you could do. So the Come and See Weekend was more like a formal retreat weekend where you'd spend time with the guys. And mm-hmm. One of the weekends that they did that was actually this last weekend at the seminary. They just had the Eucharistic devotions.
Okay.
So it was really cool. You could go to the seminary, be a part of the Eucharistic devotions and pray and stuff. But no, mine was kind of like the easy track of just going and just kind of just jumping in. Mm-hmm. You get to jump into some of the classes they're doing. Basketball is all on Wednesday nights, so you get to play basketball with the guys and just kind of hang out in the lounge. And it was kind of an organic way of approaching it.
I say this often on the show, and I don't really mean to repeat myself, but I think it's something that has to be corrected. I think some people think that you know there's Gregorian chant going on, and you know got your Bible in front of you,
right.
Walking up and down
right.
the hall in the long cassock, and it's not that way.
No. Yeah, we're really blessed with our seminaries, as we know in our diocese, to have both the undergrad and the graduate. And it just, guys are normal, you know, and we're allowed to have the freedom of kind of going out and doing stuff and being with our friends and family. And basketball and sports is one of the things we love to do. And, you know, guys will go out to Boston Mills and ski and snowboard in the winter times. And yeah, it's great.
Things that any other 25 or 24 year old does.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Father, if you stay right there, we're going to come back after these messages on God Calling. Welcome back. Thanks for staying tuned. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski with Father David Stavars. Father, you're at St. Gabriel's. Something I read about you, and something that you wrote, I believe, on Word on Fire, mm-hmm. Which is Bishop Barron's site on the web, had to do with the first piece of art you ever bought.
Yeah.
It came up, and it's very beautifully written. Tell me what the piece of art was.
Yeah, it was Rembrandt's Storm at the Sea. So it's, you know, obviously this kind of wavy kind of section of the storm that Jesus and the disciples are in the boat. And there's kind of light on the left side of the painting, kind of dark on the right side. You got the mast that looks like a crucifix, mm-hmm. Really kind of praying with it. It's just kind of waving. Everything's blowing around, and the disciples are all in the boat, and they're kind of looking at Jesus, and Jesus is kind of like pointing himself like me. so that question, you know, Lord, we got all this stuff going on. You know, what are you going to do about this? And it just really spoke to me.
There's a great analogy in there to what's going on in the world today, too.
Yeah,
Where are you going to put your trust?
Right.
That picture has the answer.
Yeah, and I think really kind of what came out, a number of different things in the article, but, you know, Jesus is in the boat with us, you know, even if things might be swirling around us and things are rocking around, that, you know, Jesus is in the boat, and being in the boat is better than being outside of the boat. You know, so because it's going to be wavy either way, And, you know, to have Jesus there just changes everything. So
I read this, same thing that you just said, but basically being in the boat with Jesus, even if the waters are terrifyingly tempestuous, is better than jumping ship. God is in the boat, and I am not a good swimmer.
There you go.
I like that a lot. I really do. One of the things you say is that we really have to do a better job at challenging people to see or perceive the work of God in the world. The world itself is a beautiful place. Everybody's not acting beautifully, but it's a beautiful place. And
it is.
Some of that is lost when some of the, maybe the 60s and 70s naivete disappeared, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm way off on that.
No, I think it's, where is the good and where can we find it? God is always at working, right? And I think it's looking at, certainly, and because we live in the internet age, when we know about something happening across the world within, you know, 5 minutes, you know, it's like looking at, like, what and who is around me, you know, and how am I being called to impact them? And how are they, you know, impacting me? And where can I see the good that's happening? Certainly in our own diocese, there's many, many things that are happening that are so good. And but we have to be willing to have eyes to see, you know, to not just get sucked in by all this other things, important as they may be. But really, you know, where is God working? And maybe that's in the small little ways, in our families, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our parishes.
Another thing that I've tended to notice in your writings is a lot of references to the Holy Spirit, and that without the Holy Spirit, God is just an idea,
right?
As opposed to something, someone active in our lives.
Yeah, we just had our confirmation retreat with our kids this last weekend, and yeah, I mean, it was kind of a different way of describing this. One of the so I used a rock song actually by the band called Cutlass. So they had kind of heavier music back in the day, kind of went away for a little bit, but they have a song called Words of Fire. And, you know, I kind of talked to the confirmation kids, you know, why is this sacrament important? You know, not because it's, you know, some kind of religious hoop jumping, but because God wants to bring transformation to our lives. You know, that God isn't just kind of something we read about in a book, but wants to bring transformation. And the song kind of kind of makes an analogy between, you know, kind of the fire we see going on around us, you know, whether it's the storms or the fire, and how we're being called to, you know, press into breathing words of fire, comparing to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit gives these gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, piety, you know, fear of the Lord, fortitude. And these are the words of fire that God wants to be making active within us, so we can then share the fruits: peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness. You know, when we see a lot of anger, when we see a lot of division, and obviously that's not going to be the solution to our struggles. And so the Holy Spirit wants to be there and doing all this.
Going back to that analogy of the boat and Jesus in the boat, not long after you began your priesthood, we don't have to go into the details of it and don't want to. But some bad stuff happened in a parish.
Right.
And I was very moved by the fact that you and the other now priests got together to pray, as opposed to being angry and just to try to understand and get stronger in your faith and not have anybody at arm's length.
Right. And that, I think, yeah, that was a beautiful moment, you know, after the kind of the news came out that we all gathered in a parish and prayed in front of the Eucharist. And I think, in a sense, you know, there's saying prayers and there's praying. And to pray, you know, our prayer doesn't need to be G-rated in the sense that it's pouring out our hearts before God and God receiving that. You think of like Job, right? All the things that he was going through, right? I mean, yeah, to be real and vulnerable with God, no matter what that looks like, you know, and for him to know he's there to receive that and he's going to be with us in that and help us to move forward and so that was some real time of prayer with some priests. So
it's okay to vent to God, maybe to be a little angry.
Sure, because all that anger, that frustration, it tells us something real about our hearts. It tells us something real. Something's not right. You know, we don't have to be kind of we don't have to be prudish with our emotions. You know, our emotions are telling us something, and God knows our emotions as well. He knows why we're feeling those things, and he wants to be with us in those places. So, yeah, real prayer, just really diving into that vulnerability with God.
And something I've talked about quite a bit is just, you know, saying prayers versus praying, because I grew up a long, long time ago. And, you know, it was, confession was, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I said right. bad words three times. I this, and, you know, it wasn't a conversation. It wasn't
yeah.
very deep, to be honest with you. It was
right.
a list.
Right.
And is the catechesis better at kids today, you think?
I think it's always growing. It's always growing, you know. And I think that's, you know, moving from the head to the heart, right? That not just learning the what's about our faith, but, you know, why is it? And how can we enter into it even more deeply?
Mm-hmm.
So
kids ask a lot of questions these days.
They do. They do. And we need to be okay with being with them in those questions, whether we feel like we have the answers right at that moment or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why a lot of kids will leave the faith when their questions aren't answered, or they'll just be told, well,
because I said so.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Be with them in their whys, you know, and that's a hard thing to do. It's more of an art than a science.
Mm-hmm. Father, if you stay right there, we'll be right back on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for staying tuned. This is Paul Orlowski with Father David Stavers at St. Gabe's, the parochial vicar there. You've written quite a lot on Word on Fire. I wasn't familiar with it until several months ago. That's Bishop Barron's site, but all kinds of stuff there, and you've done some writing on it. Can you explain what it is just before we get into what you've written?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we were talking about you know, the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is God who is active and present and moving in our lives. And Christianity isn't simply kind of following our own designs, but it's mm-hmm. following God's plan, right? And yeah, writing for Word on Fire was not something I ever thought would happen. I mean, I never thought I would be a priest,
right,
let alone writing for, you know, a pretty, you know, worldwide read blog. And just in seminary, you're being exposed to so many things about the faith, you know, philosophy and theology. And you know, Father Damian Ference at the seminary, who actually wrote for Word on Fire first for a number of years, you know, he really had the intention of really wanting to connect us not just to the philosophy and theology, but also to the world, that all the things that we're learning has something to say about our everyday lives and what we experience. You know, in a sense, you have the scriptures and the newspaper in your hand kind of at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So never expected that. The first article I really felt called to write was just an album review from a band called Red, so Christian rock.
Okay.
Again, at that time, was kind of influential for me. And I wrote that first kind of article or album review, and then it just kind of went from there. You know, the Lord just kind of kept placing these article ideas, and it was really cool.
Yeah, you're learning how easy being a reporter is.
Yeah.
I had him fooled for 40 some years.
So. Yeah, there you go.
another one that I did read that impressed me was fasting, the importance of fasting, and
sure.
I think fasting is lost on a lot of people, and probably including me.
Mm. Yeah, it's one of these disciplines of the church, certainly. So we got Lent coming up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just in a couple of weeks, kind of crazy. yeah, and during Lent, you know, it's prayer, fasting, almsgiving. Yeah, and fasting, you know, why is that important? Well, because we can have certain attachments in life. And certainly it's, you know, what am I living for? What is my happiness placed in? So it's kind of this growth in the journey of our hearts. You know, that ultimately, you know, our hearts should be attached to God and God alone. He has placed us in a world with good things, and we should enjoy those things. It's not just to say, like, all that stuff's bad, but that our hearts can become attached to certain things. So that's food, drink, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's something more than just simply, you know, well, we just need to do something hard, and that makes us look like Catholics, right? But that it's there's a real opportunity for prayer and intercession with fasting, and it's fasting would be kind of like a bodily prayer, you know, you're praying with our bodies, and John Paul II was really attuned to the importance and the significance of the human body in the Christian journey, and so as we hear about things going on in our communities, as we hear about things going on in our world, that my giving up of something, I mean, essentially you're entering into a suffering, and what is the ultimate prayer, you know, Jesus made was the cross,
mm-hmm.
was his bodily prayer of, you know, of his act of love for the world. As you enter into that with Jesus, you know, that prayer makes grace available for people, I think in a real way, whether it's the way we expect or not.
people, you're right, have become a little more lax in the outward expressions of our faith. I remember if you were riding in a car with my grandfather or grandmother, go by any Catholic church, sign of the cross.
Yeah.
Catholic cemetery, sign of the cross. Mm-hmm. Always. If the church bells rang at church, silence.
Yeah.
And we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. You know, external devotion is important, right? Because we're seen living our faith. Not that it's about all that externals, because how is this connected to our interior journey? But yeah, no, it's good. I think we need to do that. And we need to be not afraid, you know, to be outward in our faith too.
How are we going to get people back to Mass?
Yeah,
you got the answer right there. Just
that's,
like
that's a big question.
39% attend regularly. I guess.
Yeah, and that certainly is as a priest, that's concerning to me because
sure.
You know, as we're and why are we talking about the Eucharistic revival? You know, coming up here, that the Eucharist is important. You know, I think it's an interesting question. I think so. That's one question: how to get people back to Mass, and that's important. I think another question could be, how do we help people to encounter Jesus and be open to a life of conversion? Mm-hmm. You know, and the Mass is certainly a high point of that. I think building relationships with people in our lives and having them trust us, and then just the invitation, right? Not being afraid to invite people. But like also thinking about what are the steps that are going to help someone get to that point where they're willing to go to Mass.
Mm-hmm. And I've had priests tell me that they'll have a very young child come in and confess that they missed Mass on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Well, you know why they missed Mass. Mom and Dad didn't bring them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a sad. It really bothered this one fellow, one priest that I was talking to.
Yeah. I think a different question would be, how do we awaken people's desire for God?
It's a tall order.
How do we awaken desire, you know, within people, that which then makes them not just want to go to Mass, but it makes them want to, you know, live lives of service, makes them want to evangelize, makes them want to, you know, do a lot of things. But yeah, it's definitely a part of it.
Yeah. Tell me about St. Gabe's.
St. Gabriel's is a great parish out on the east side. It's mm-hmm. pretty large, I think, on the books, about 4,000 families. We have an awesome grade school, about 560 kids. And it's been a great area. Father Fred Pauschi's the pastor. He's been there for 32 years, so a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience, and it's been a great place to be.
It's got to be a blessing to be with somebody that's been there that long. And, there's probably nothing he hasn't seen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How about the kids?
Kids are great. Yeah,
they're just pretty well prepared for knowing Jesus and stuff
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, just journeying with them in all different kinds of ways. I try to do Q&As, and especially with the upper grades, with the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades.
Mm-hmm.
Really, again, the importance of asking those questions and feeling like they can ask questions about the things they have about faith. Super important. And it's been very good to be in the classes with the kids. So
yeah, teach them to think.
That's right.
And the Lord will provide the answers, I suppose.
That's right.
Father David Starvis, thanks very much for joining us on God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski, your host. Each and every week, I hope you'll join me each and every week as we explore people's vocations right here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.